Hi everyone, I'm Lula.
And I'm Jude.
And welcome back to Just
Yay!
Woo!
I'm
Our
so excited,
guest
Lula.
is already clapping, and we're so excited. Jude is going to introduce her.
Okay, so Lula and I met this week's guest very randomly. When Lula was visiting me in Copenhagen, we went to this incredible brunch place called the Wolf in Kunsthalle. And what started as a kind interjection from our waitress about how cute Lula's nails were quickly turned into an eager and deep conversation about life, travel, and love. When we left, Lula and I both looked at each other and were like, we need to have her on the podcast. So, Laura Aldeguer, which I totally butchered, but she's going to correct me on that. Thank you so much for joining me and Lula on the pod.
Thank you for butchering my surname.
I feel like an
Every
asshole.
Spanish person, every Spanish listener is gonna have their eyes and their ears bleeding. Not the eyes, sorry, the ears bleeding.
I took Spanish for so long.
Sorry, Laura, and welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so you're Spanish. Where are you from?
I was born in the Canary Islands, but I consider myself more Catalan than Canarian, to be honest. I lived in Barcelona for around 7 years, and that's a place where I felt most at home. So if I would say that I'm from somewhere, like I was born in the Canary Islands, but I feel more Catalan. But I'm more of a like world inhabitant, let's say like this is like super cliche thing to say.
Yeah, I know the three of us talked about that when we met you, but I guess just for the listeners' sake, how'd you end up in Barcelona? Why do you consider yourself such a world inhabitant, et cetera, et cetera?
Okay, so I ended up in Barcelona for family reasons, actually. The podcast is going to get really deep right now. Just as like this is a small warning. So I was living in Germany. I was doing my university exchange in Germany back in 2014 and 15 because I'm old. Okay. I'm older than you guys. And then, well, I found out that my dad had Alzheimer's and he was born in Barcelona. So I decided to move there and then move as well with my studies and then finish my bachelor over there. And in the meantime, bring my dad back to where he was born and home where he would feel more comfortable. And that's what moved me there, what made me move there. And actually, I connected really well with the place. And then I stayed for 7 years.
What were you studying?
I studied design and then I specialized in product design. So UX, UI, but a bit more like from beginning to end. Combined with branding. I have done a bit of everything, let's say like
I love that.
that.
I'm the techie one of the group. So, like, when you're studying this, so like the transition to go to Barcelona, you have to leave your studies, right? To go and be in Barcelona, or do you like retake studying up in Barcelona, or do you like drop it?
So, since I started studying in Spain and I just did like the exchange year in Germany, and I'm actually my idea was to just remain in Germany, but due to these family reasons and also Germans, I decided to move back to Spain. I like Germany. This is gonna sound so bad on my behalf. I love Germany, and every time more actually, when I look at from far away, I like it even more. No, but I have a lot of German friends. But it's true that it's not a place where I thrive. It's not a place where I blossom. And then going back to Spain was also reconnecting with my roots and then being able to take care of my dad because I'm an only child. You
You're an
say
only
only child,
child.
right?
You do not give only
Yes.
child vibes, Al.
Because I'm not spoiled as fuck.
Is that the definition of an only child?
it is. Are you guys only
Sorry,
child?
only children.
No, I'm
No.
not an only child.
Okay.
Wait, what do you think? What do you think we are? Do you, like, if you like, we both have one sibling.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, Jude, maybe you're the older one,
Oh.
and you are the little one, Lula.
No, you have to swap us. See, look how
Rudolph.
Jude reacted to that. Look how Jude
Let's
reacted to that.
go.
He's the younger one.
Okay,
No,
yeah.
Jude. Jude is an older sister and I have a younger sister. It's
Okay.
fine. I'll forgive you. At least we're not only children. Sorry, only children. We still love you. Okay.
This is like a big jump, but when you have children, or if you wanna do, first of all, do you wanna have
Whoa.
children? And if you do,
Oh my
if you
God.
do, do you
What a
wanna have an
twist.
only child? We're jumping all over the place.
Okay. I would love that this will be on video because my expression was like, what the heck? That's a good question because I didn't want to have kids. I didn't believe in like creating a family in this messed up world, and at least not in the normative way, you know. I would love to raise kids in a community, for example. Like, I would love that. So 5 months ago, someone entered my life, and then he made me rethink everything.
What?
Wait,
I
can
know.
we talk about him?
Yeah,
I'm
we can.
like, I wanted to.
We are
Okay.
allowed.
Yay.
Perfect. We have
He
consent.
has signed
Okay,
a
wait, I.
consent. I can say his name. No.
Thank God. Okay, I want to like recreate our conversation when we met you because it was so perfect and like insane that we talked about this within like 10 minutes of meeting you. But we were talking about how you've lived a lot of places, you've traveled a lot. And Jude, I think, asked how long you're staying in Copenhagen. And you were like, oh, well, I might be here for a while because I found my love. And then Jude and I started screaming at the table and everyone stared at us. But okay, with that intro, can you talk about Mr. Pele?
Well, okay, now I'm getting nervous.
Sorry.
So Pele and I, actually Pele entered my life 18 years ago. So we met. I told you I grew up in the Canary Islands, and then one of the Canary Islands is Lanzarote, that is very widely known among the Danes, actually. It's very well known here in Denmark. They all go there for like holidays, and there's a really big like sports club over there, where you can do sports from like windsurfing to paddle tennis or even just yoga or whatever. And then I went there when I was 12 or 13, yeah. And then Mr. Pele was there when he was 14. And he followed me to the swimming pool. I was just there, you know, I went there with my dad. We were both windsurfing and just doing like plenty of activities because I was a very active kid and I loved sports. So he was like signing me up for everything. But then when I had a break, I would go to the swimming pool and then pretend I was a mermaid like every 13-year-old back in the day, because I don't know what 13-year-olds do at this time, you know.
They're like doing TikTok dances or something.
Exactly. That's exactly
Help.
what they do. And yeah, so he followed me to the swimming pool and with another friend, and then his friend approached me, and I was like, damn, the cute one was the other one. But then
Classic.
his friend was like, my friend likes you and he would like to have your phone. I was like, yes. But of course I wasn't showing it outside. I was like pretending like, okay, so yeah, well, this is my phone number. And then we talked that I was there for like I think 3 or 4 more days, and then we saw each other a little bit here and there. And then the last day I was supposed to go do some tourism with my dad around the island, and then I begged him to stay to spend time with quote unquote Amanda, that was a girlfriend that I had met there. I saw Amanda like 2 minutes that day. And I spent the whole day with Pele. And
Oh.
yeah, it was really cute. And actually, that was when we had our first kiss. And your faces, it's like,
Adorable.
oh. And it was like my, let's say, my proper first kiss, and the first time that a kiss will make me feel like, oh, I really like this person. And so I went back home, just in love with him. I went back home, and I cried when I arrived home, and then I talked to my mom and I was like, I love this guy, blah blah, and we texted and we saw each other on video calls for like 1 year, and he was like this cute blondie, you know, he was so cute when he was a kid. That's why I want to have kids with him, because if they're gonna look as good as him, it's like, give me those babies. I cannot let this DNA just like be wasted. So yeah. And this is the long
Adorable.
version. This is the long version, basically. Yeah. Then we didn't talk for years, actually. We stayed in contact in Facebook for a couple of years, but then I deleted Facebook. So for 8 years, more or less, we didn't talk anymore. And then last year I was living in the Caribbean, and I met a Pele. And it was the second Pele that I had ever met in my life. So I was like, ooh, what about my Pele? What is my Pele doing? Right? So I remember after 17 years, I remember his name and his surname because I was fucking obsessed with him, of course. So I looked him up on Instagram. He had Instagram. That is something very rare here in Denmark, actually. And then I just add him on Instagram and waited. And then he accepted me. He sent me a message, but it was a message here and there because I was in the Caribbean. He was in Denmark. So it wasn't very like, it was a bit complicated. But then, am I making this too long? It
No, not
feels
at
like
all.
I'm like, forever.
I have so many follow-up
I'm on
questions
the edge of
already.
my seat and I've already heard the story.
Yeah, it's like I don't know how to shorten it, you know, it's like it has so
Don't.
much content.
This is one story that you should never shorten. It's too good.
Okay, no. So yeah, then you know, we were texting here and there, and but nothing really serious. And then I posted something on my Instagram that I was moving to Amsterdam, and then he texted me like, hey, I was in Amsterdam last week, you're gonna move there, blah blah. And then he asked me something. And you know, I had a lot on my plate at that moment, and that was November last year, so exactly a year ago. And I didn't reply. I totally forgot to reply. And your faces, guys. So yeah, I totally forgot. I kind of forgot about him a little bit as well. I was just like, hey, this is not gonna work, you know. It's like something that happened almost 20 years ago. Whatever. It's like this only happens in the movies. But then in April, a friend of mine did a photo session for me while I was kite surfing. That was really, really cool. And of course, I had to post it on Instagram because showing off time.
Yeah.
And then, among the reactions, I had my eye on a special reaction to one of my stories that was from Pele. And when I clicked on the message to see what he had written, I saw that I didn't respond to him in 5 months. And I was like, oh, shit. And I felt so bad. So I was like, hey, I'm so sorry. And actually, I responded the day of his birthday. So I felt even worse. Yeah, it was, I
Oh my God.
felt so, yeah. But then I made it up a little bit because he was like, are you gonna be in Malaga by the end of the month? And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be here. Oh, nice, because I'm gonna go to a bachata festival. So this Danish guy
Ooh.
dances bachata.
Shut up.
And then I was like, okay, cool. And I was like, look, you know, the place you're gonna stay is really close to the airport. I can just go pick you up. And well, things happened. Here I am. So that was April. And in total, we saw each other like 7 days in Spain. And that made
Okay.
me move to Denmark. So can
Whoa,
imagine.
that's
Yeah.
crazy. Okay, wait. Like, when you like, so you pick him up out. You pick him up at, outside the airport. He comes out, right? Like, are you outside of the car? Are you gonna hug him? Like, was there any anxiety of like how you were gonna like interact with him? Like, you haven't seen each other for like years and years.
So this is a very good question. Actually, that day, like I was staying at my grandma's, and I was going kite surfing like almost every day. And for me, I was so obsessed with kite surfing at that moment. Well, I still am, but I was just like, dude, do I really have to go pick this guy up at the airport? I could be kite surfing today. I'm gonna miss one day of kite surfing to go pick this guy up at the airport. Fuck this, you know? And then while I was driving there, I was like, you know, I started feeling like, what if I feel things, you know? And actually, I told him like, I'm going to park the car illegally, so to say. I'm going to leave it in a place where you shouldn't park. And so I'm going to run inside, pick you up, and then we go. Because if I park the car inside, it's like a mess, right? It's like Malaga Airport. If you go with a car, it takes a while. Anyway, like any airport. And then he was like, yeah, okay, cool. I arrived a bit late, of course. Like, I'm always late. Okay. Disclosure, I'm always late. And I arrived a bit late, but he hadn't still left the plane, so I was perfectly on time. That's how my life works, okay? It's like out of luck all the time. And so I went inside and I was like, low key, you know, whatever. Oh, important detail there, I almost forget. I was gonna go just, you know, like easy, like what I'm wearing now, jeans, t-shirt. It was end of April and in Spain it was pretty warm. So I was like, you know, something easy, like surf style. My grandma forbid me to leave the house like that. She was like, what? No, 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 no. You're going to wear the black dress. And I was like,
wow.
No, I'm not going to wear the black dress. It's the most expensive dress I own, basically. It's a really good dress, okay? And I was like, no, I mean, I'm not going to wear the black dress. Why? It's just like random dude, you know, 18 years ago, whatever. She's like, you never wear it. And this is the perfect occasion for that. You're going to go have dinner in a very fancy place because I gave him like some options. Where would you like to go for dinner? And he chose like the most, of course, the fanciest and like, yeah, a place that has like fountains and sculptures all around.
What a move.
Yeah.
Pele got moves. Let's just be clear, right? Like Pele got moves.
There are a lot of like hidden things, actually. Like we were talking about how he reserved the hotel and everything, actually like a couple of days ago. And then he was like, you know, I upgraded the room and everything. I was like,
oh my God.
And he's telling me this month later, you know. But this is something else. And we're not going to get into detail in that. But I saw the room, okay? It was a very nice room. But yeah. Anyway, so I was wearing the black dress. I show up there at the airport. This is going to take the whole podcast, guys.
I love it. I'm so hooked.
No,
I'm
like,
so in.
Love story. Keep going.
And so I show up there. And then I see this blonde, cute guy coming at me, like almost running towards me with the biggest smile ever. And then this feeling of like, whatever that I had before was like, oh, shit. Okay. He's coming. Okay. Oh, my God. Am I like... Is my small Lara, my kid Lara, awaken again? And like, it was like, something Aww. Was like really, really happy, like jumping inside of me. And he came like straight to me and I was like, this guy's gonna kiss me. So I gave him like the hug, like, hey, you know, like you put your head to a side and like open your arms, like, because I was like, this is not a movie, dude. No, I was thinking like, what are you doing? And so I was a bit stressed because of the car. So I was like, hi, yeah, let's go outside. And he couldn't stop smiling. He was just like smiling all the time. And I was like, this is the cutest guy ever. And so we get in the car and yeah, I kept talking like I always do. And then when we arrived to the restaurant, I stepped out of the car. I kept talking, explaining him, oh, so this restaurant, blah, blah, and everything. The guy just straight up looks at me in the eye, walks towards me, and kisses me. Like, no words exchanged. Yeah, and it was magical. And we had a...
Was it as magical as the first kiss? Was it more magical?
Actually, funny enough, I don't remember if I told him at that kiss or at the kiss before we left. I told him something like, you have improved in this 18 years. That's totally like a Lara move, you know, it's something that... And yeah, but it was different. I cannot compare them because the
boy and man, let's just say it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's a total different context, a total different feeling. Like the first kiss was like so naive, so cute, you know. And this kiss was like so determined, you know. You could see like he knew what he was doing. and yeah, it's like it felt like a kiss we both waited a long time for.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I have questions.
Go for it.
Or I have thoughts. Okay, so I feel like you kept saying, like, oh my God, like it wasn't a movie. But like obviously it is a movie. You know what I mean? Like obviously this is out, the whole thing's out of a movie in a very good way. But I get what you mean. And I think, okay, here's my other thought. I'm gonna try and connect this. So I just read this book all about love, which I have mixed feelings about. Jude and I have talked about it on the podcast before, but I just like actually finished it. And I feel like one of my only like really good takeaways was that a lot of people are like very scared about love. Like it's also definitely a huge issue with our like generation and like what's portrayed in like the media, blah, 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 of just like people are really scared to like fully dive deep into like a romantic relationship. And I'm just like so excited by the fact that you followed him to Copenhagen after a week. And so I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'm like, I don't know if that's a question. Maybe, okay, if it's a question, it's like, do you think you were ever scared of love before? Like, it seems like you obviously were like not scared of Pele. Like, Pele is your love, as you say.
This is actually a very, very good question. I am still scared of love, and we were talking about it this weekend, actually.
Wow.
There is a lot of fear around love, and there is a big fear of being loved as well. Like, I was reading not long ago about how your trauma affects your relationships, and especially your romantic relationships, right? And I have seen in this relationship, because Pele is a walking green flag, it's literally a walking green flag, and I'm not used to that. I'm not used to dating green flags. I'm not, honestly, it's like, yeah, it's like, and I mean, I'm sorry for all of my exes, but it's not like there were red flags. I have had wonderful people that honestly I have shared my life with, wonderful people in many ways, in many times of my life, with terrible people as well. And it's true that I see myself in this relationship sometimes like trying to sabotage it, not being used to being loved, healthy, to have something that is like, okay, this is the man of my life, this is the person that I really wanna spend my life with. That's scary as fuck. And then you start thinking like, nah, but he has this and that. Nah, you start like trying to sabotage it. And then it's like, first of all, you deserve to be loved. You deserve to have a love like this. You deserve to have someone that really cares about you, that is really worried about what you're feeling and really wants to change and make things better for you. It hasn't been easy at all to be here in Denmark. Like, for me, yeah, it can sound brave to just after a week just come to Denmark and leave everything behind. But I think the bravest is actually staying. And it's working through it together. We have both made a lot of work. Like, it's not only on me. Like, he's done a lot. He has had to adapt his whole life and the way he had of living here to me as well. And this is, I think, the constant challenge. And for me as well, to accept the way that he's loving me and accept, that I deserve good things as well. And this is definitely a longer and a deeper topic, but I think this is maybe our biggest fear, right? That sometimes we're still on the way of learning how to love ourselves. And when someone shows us how, we are like, no, this shouldn't, this cannot be it. This, there's something there. This is not right. And then we tend to just like not see the red flags. We tend to disregard the red flags because it's something that attracts us, because it's like, oh, this is going to give me the roller coaster. No, bitch, don't go for the roller coaster. Wrong. Seriously. It's like, friend, let yourself be loved, and yeah, and just bring good things to your life. But it's difficult. The moment that you like to get there is really tough, and to accept that is also really tough, and to let love like have you. If you can say it like that.
I don't want to assume that, like, it sounds like you're always grappling with this, like, to this day, but was there a moment? Because, like, I mean, maybe you were just spontaneous, right? And you were like 7 days and now I'm just gonna go off with this guy. But there also, I think, may be like a moment of like, wait, like I kind of like I need to do this. Like it wasn't really an option, maybe. Like, can you walk us through like both the feeling and the thought process that went into the moment when you were like, okay, like 7 days and now let's go to Copenhagen?
Well, the thing is, we saw each other 2 days first, and then we had 2 weeks in between after the next 5 days that we would see each other in Barcelona, right after my birthday. And in those 2 weeks, he was sort of like, we were video calling, you know, and I was like, oh my God, this guy, you know, like to my friends and everything, but also kind of like a bit low key, like trying to know not to get myself like too excited, right? Because, you know, been hurt before, blah blah. And I was at that point of my life where I'm like, I don't want no man, blah 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 blah. I still tell him today, like, you're the reason why I don't have a girlfriend. You're the one to blame. Seriously, I was so ready to be like, you know what, men chapter is closed, let's go. Seriously. But I'm very happy that I jumped on this train. And it was like throughout those 2 weeks, he was like telling me, yeah, you know, Copenhagen, there's good wind here, because, you know, like kitesurfing wind. I was like, okay, sold. Easy. And he was like, I don't know, we were talking and doing video calls, and then he was like, look, this is your apartment in Copenhagen. And all of the time I was thinking, he's joking, you know, no one will jump so easily into having someone moving into their house. And also this part, you know, this personal part of me, like, no one will do this as fast for me, you know? It's like I'm just someone that doesn't have anything clear in her life, and it's just like looking like trying to find herself, you know. So it's like I was at a moment where I wasn't really feeling super powerful and destructible. So I was just like, yeah, whatever. He's just being sweet. And when we met in Barcelona after those 2 weeks, he was super serious about it. And then I was the one like, but have you thought about it? Like, I'm gonna jump into your routine. I was shit scared. And my friends that have seen me hurt before, actually, my friend Ingrid, she, I remember before I went to meet him in Barcelona, she looked at me, she was like, Lara, moving to Copenhagen. And she just did that, you know.
Not the big
She
sigh.
didn't even need to tell me anything. And I was like, you know. I was like, you know what? If I get hurt, so be it. I prefer to at least leave it and then be hurt and learn from it than just let it go out of fear. And in those 5 days, I think were the best 5 days I have spent with someone ever, like 24 hours. We were together, honestly, for those 5 days all the time, and it was perfect. And those days, it was the first time that I saw myself trying to sabotage it, and then realizing, Nada, why? Enjoy it. You have someone good, someone that wants to give you love and that is ready for this. Take it. And I took it. I was shit scared. And of course, it was 2 weeks before I will arrive in Copenhagen. And in those 5 days, actually the day before he was leaving Barcelona, he was like, I need you to have the ticket before I leave, because otherwise I'm not gonna be able to sleep. And I was like, okay. And then we bought the
Wow.
ticket, and it was 2 weeks from that moment. And you have to gather your whole life in those 2 weeks and just move to another country, not knowing what to expect. And I think 2 or 3 days before, I called him and I broke in tears at some point, because I was like, have we thought about this? Is this really what we want? Do you really want me? You really want me so bad? And he was like, yeah, I haven't been more certain of something. Seriously, just come and we'll find out together. And it was perfect. It wasn't perfect, but it was perfect. You know what I mean? It's like it was meant to be. And then it's just like working through it together and then finding out together if it really works. But you have to jump on the train. You have to jump and say, this is my moment. I'm gonna do it. And if you fail, so what? You learn a lot. And that's what I think that's what life is about and what love is about mostly. Welcome to my TED Talk.
I love it. I have a dude, do you have something to say?
No, I'm just sitting with that.
Okay, yeah. I have something to say, but I might cut it because I think it's gonna come out really incorrectly.
Why?
But okay, preface for Lotta is that I have a girlfriend who's lovely and amazing. Shout out. And
shout out.
That's why I was laughing when you were like, this is the only reason I don't have a girlfriend. And I think it's so like your story with Pele, how you just described like the actual moving process reminds me so much of the U-Haul lesbian trope of like girls who are dating move in together insanely fast and like never separate.
That's a lesbian move. That's totally a lesbian move.
Yeah. No, and it's completely real. And I think I don't even have much to say other than like it's so nice for some reason, like hearing that Pele was also involved in this, like not involved in this, you know what I mean? Like kind of created that sort of U-Haul environment also, because I feel like, I don't know, like what you were saying, explaining it to your friend and her being like, really, like that kind of thing. I think like there is such an element, at least for me, maybe I'm projecting, but of like having to explain,
oh,
like
totally.
Moving quickly to people.
100%.
And it's so, it makes it so much more like internally challenging. I don't know. That's my thought.
But because your surroundings, you know, they have been able to see what you've been through, and then you rely on them as well. And it's like, oh, they have seen me hurt. Maybe I'm making a mistake. But you have to trust your gut. This is about a gut feeling, you know? And your gut, like, is also going to tell you, danger, run. And then you're going to be like, oh, no, but I'm not going to run because he's so cute. No, bitch, run. Because I've been there too. I've been there, and my friend's telling me, like, Lara, red flag, walking red flag, run. No, you know, I can handle it. Bullshit, you cannot handle it. And your gut feeling is telling you, you just have to listen to it. And in this case, it was the other way around. In this case, my friend was just like, I'm going to see you just like running against the wall again, and I don't want it. And well, she was wrong. Ingrid, you were wrong. I'm sorry.
I just like I'm always curious when people say like trust their gut feeling. I think it's really hard to even hear the gut feeling at times. I mean, it sounds like for Pele it was pretty clear, right? But like in general, like how do you listen to your gut in your normal life?
I don't. I'm so bad at listening to it. I'm super bad at listening to it. I have a really good intuition or gut feeling or whatever you want to call it. The moon, the stars, whatever. Like, people call it in different ways. I know, like, I already know, but I don't want to listen to it. Because there's something else, and I don't know how to explain it. There's something else sometimes that is like this toxic trait towards ourselves, right? That is like, no, just give it a shot because you can. You're stronger than this. No, just go for the healthy things. Don't put more challenges in your life. And it's about how does it sit with you. I think sometimes what helped me is going somewhere that I like, or just sitting with my own thoughts, having like a song on repeat, because that's how I focus. Like, that's how I concentrate. Just putting the same nice song on repeat and just like being there and thinking, okay, this is scenario A. How does this make me feel? This is scenario B. How does this make me feel? And it's the same, like when I was living in Barcelona and I had the perfect job, I had perfect apartment, perfect life, apparently, right? Like, I was living in Barcelona. I had in principle everything that I was wishing for. And then I was super unhappy. Basically, my weekends were like getting drunk, getting wasted, and just forgetting about my life. And by the way, in 5 days, it will be a year that I haven't had any single drop of alcohol. So
wow,
that's also something.
Congrats. Wow.
Congratulations.
Hell yeah.
And it's such a change,
yeah,
really, when you, honestly, when you manage to handle your problems and not like drown your sorrows in alcohol, it also tells a lot and also makes you like grow in a way. And I'm really, really happy that I made this decision. And it was that, you know, like I saw alcohol as a reflection of like, I'm trying to drown my sorrows. If my life is so perfect, why do I have to like forget about my life then during the weekends, you know, like try to run away? And it was a feeling there, you know, like in the in the la boca del estómago that we say in Spanish, in the mouth of the stomach, right? That it was just like new job. I did some interviews, you know, but I was like, my job is good. It's not about that. And then I remember I was lying on bed with an ex thing that I had back then. We were lying just both in bed, like just looking at the ceiling. And then he was like, Lara, you want to leave, right? You want to leave Barcelona and just travel. And I was like, yes. He was like, just do it. And I was like, yeah, but it's fucking scary. He was like, just do it. And that's it, right? Like when you have that feeling, it's gonna be scary as fuck, but it's that. And it's like that for everything. It's like that for starting a relationship. It's like that for changing jobs. It's like that for standing up for yourself. It's like that for also saying no to family. It's like that for everything. It's like that for like tracing boundaries and drawing boundaries with your friends, with the people you love. It's for everything. As long as you feel it in here and it's like, this will make me feel good. This is what I need right now. Because we're people that we're in constant change. This will look good to you today and maybe not tomorrow. And you have to accept that. So as long as it's making you good today and in the moment you're like, yes, this is what I need, go for it. That for me is the gut feeling.
So I have a question on that, because I think, so I've been trying to embrace that thought process more and more in my life. And yet I also sometimes catch myself feeling selfish. And I think it's important to be selfish, to show yourself self-love. But I think there's a line when it's like you're focusing so much on what your needs are and what your gut is that you like forget to prioritize or ostracize other people that you care about in your life. And I'm trying to figure out how to balance that and how to find that middle ground. Do you agree with that? Do you think that you should just embrace yourself and focus on that? Like, is that selfish? What are your thoughts on that?
That's really tricky because I have been in a journey in that sense as well. I think sometimes when you try to take care of yourself, like society in a way pictures it as being selfish, and you really have to be really connected with yourself, right, to be able to trace the line. And for me, selfishness is when you will jump over others or you will step over other people in order to get what you want. And as long as you are making the decisions, thinking for what's best for you and what's being self-compassionate and what's coming from self-love, it's gonna hurt others because our decisions have an impact, right? But you, at some point, if you don't think about yourself, who's gonna do it? And it took me a long time to actually realize that, like, I was putting other people before me all the time, all my life, until I was like, who's putting first? But the thing is, like, unless somebody tells you, or unless you go through fucked up things in your life and then you realize you only have yourself, you don't really accept that you have to put yourself first. Don't do it out of rage. Don't do it out of pity or petty or nothing. Do it because you have to do it for yourself because that's how you feel in the moment. And I think it's totally okay as well when we say, hey, you know what? I know we're gonna meet today, but I'm really like my energy is super low and I cannot make it and I know I'm not gonna bring anything to the table, right? Like I have done it with friends and I have had friends that didn't accept this and that are out of my life. I have thanked them for the time in my life, but they're now out of my life because I cannot live with someone that cannot respect my own needs, right, and my own boundaries. And the moment you are very aware of your own needs and your own boundaries, you will start seeing. You start seeing who stays with you and who is against you. And I think that's so healthy because it's a good way of cleansing, you know? So this is a trial and error. I think you have to try. And we're always going to hurt people along the way, but people are also going to hurt us. So I think it's part of the deal, so to say.
These like wise words.
It's
Wait, I'm
Jesus.
like taking it in. Okay, wait. I have a comment and then I have a question. Okay. Comment. Do you want quiet to think?
No, yeah, no, that was just no,
Okay.
just
I had to laugh
feeling.
because I love both your faces. You were like looking at me like, Oh my God. Now
Yes.
I understand. Like, I gave you the
No,
key
I
to
get it.
the
Yes.
farm. Yeah.
Okay. My really quick comment is that I also, this is just like, I think another way of like rephrasing everything you just said, but that ideally, if you're like practicing self-love, it sets you up to love others better. And like, that's something I've been thinking about because even when there are times when I'm like, I'm being selfish by like, whatever, canceling my plans 10 minutes before they were supposed to happen, I'm like, we weren't going to have a good time if I showed up. You know what I mean? And like, we'll probably have a better time in the future when I'm like actually excited to go or like have the energy or
Yeah,
whatever.
100%.
Okay. My question is like, how did you get so like wise on all of these topics? I'm like, is it from like reading a lot? Not wise like in an old way, just wise like you like are very articulate. Like you have a lot of, like I feel like I'm like reading a book that's like someone, like my inner thoughts, like my inner questions are being answered and like I don't know how to word it. I'm like, is it from traveling a lot? Is it from just like bad experiences that you've like come out of? Like, how does this happen?
I think it's more talking to other people and sharing that helps me a lot and helps me a lot understanding myself better as well. Sharing with people that I have that for me were wise people, let's say like that. And also self-reflecting a lot. Why am I doing this? Why am I feeling this? Why did I allow myself to go through this? And then why am I now feeling this other way, and also seeing things from perspective is easier to see things when time has passed. And I think it's important for us to live in the present, right? Have an eye in the future and always be aware of what we have been through in our past. Always. Because if we just start to blind ourselves from our past, we're not really going to internalize things. That's how I see things, and this is not the truth. This is my truth. For me, the more aware I have been of my past and of the things that I have gone through and the things that I have done good and bad, the better I understand myself, the easier I learn, the easier I react to the new things that come, and the easier it's for me to just digest the world in general.
Are you in therapy?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You sound like you're in
Yes.
therapy.
Yeah, yeah,
We're
yeah.
both
And
in therapy too.
please, this is shout out to everyone. Everyone should do therapy at least once in their lifetime. Like, therapy is so good, but this, I have a learning therapy. I tell you, this is just life, boy. This
This is just life.
is life.
We're a very pro therapy podcast.
Very pro.
That's nice.
I just want to go back to the drinking comment, because I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty struck by the level of, I mean, the copious amounts of drinking, to be honest, that happens in Denmark. Like, it's pretty wild. I mean, I think they have like the highest of all of the EU for like teenage drinking. And like, it definitely beats the United States as well for teenage drinking. But I also think it's just part of the culture, not just in teenagers. Like, I think it's just everyone is having beer or wine by the canal, no matter if it's 30 degrees out Fahrenheit or like 80 degrees. So was, I mean, you're coming into like a new city, right? New country, but new city, and it has a very heavy emphasis on drinking, and you're sober. Was that weird? Like, what did you learn from that? What did you learn from saying yes to yourself and no to others during that? What else? I don't know. I'm just curious if you could speak on that.
I come from Spain, so coming here wasn't the hardest. Like, there's more pressure in Spain, I think, and more pressure from the people that I know. Like, I have received comments from my friends are like, "Oh, you became so boring," or like, "What happened to you?" You know, and it's just like, it. I know they make it like in a, or they say it in a funny way, but if I wouldn't have this under control, or if I would be like, you know, just like testing the waters, it would be super tough for me because of the same thing that we talked about before, right? That it's like the influence of the people around you, the influence of the people that you care about. And actually coming here hasn't been as tough because people are very respectful when I say I don't drink. Like, For example, I was briefly in a Halloween party the other day, and then they were doing like this beer pong and whatsoever, like other type of game. And I was like, okay, you start. And I was like, no. And they were like, why not? Because I don't drink. Oh my God, I'm sorry. And then they moved to the next person. It was like, they killed my cat or something. And it's like, it's okay. I'm gonna do the same, but with a Coke. So let me just go grab the Coke. It's like, it's all right. So it's I see that like here in Sweden, actually in Sweden, they only have like these shops that are from the state apparently. And they have like a special schedule for them to buy alcohol, and it's super expensive because of course it's like monopolized them. So it's really, really expensive. But yeah, in Denmark and in Sweden it's insane, and the ingestion of alcohol, it's crazy. But also I think it's in Spain, for example, we're drinking beer like all the time. It's like 2 p.m. beer, 10 in the morning, why not beer? And it's or a glass of wine. And for me, it was more like I will go out with my friends and let's just have a glass of wine. It was never a glass of wine. It was a bottle, at the end of the day. And it was for me, it was more the struggle of say setting my limit. I didn't know how to set my limits. And then some people were like, why don't you just say, okay, I'm just gonna drink in the weekends, or I'm just gonna drink like 2 glasses of wine or whatever. And it's like, I'm just gonna try my own way. And it just worked for me. And I have been through weddings. I have been through birthdays. I actually, last year, I was working in a Michelin star restaurant for New Year's. And we had free alcohol. And actually, my Christmas gift was a bottle of champagne that my grandma has because I was, and I remember the sommelier telling me, like, come on, it's New Year's. You have to drink champagne. And I honestly, I smelled it and I was like, no. And I remember cheering with a non-alcoholic beverage because I was like, I don't want to, and I don't miss it. And I went to a wedding of a friend of mine in September. And I remember there, I think it was like the most difficult because it's just the setting. It's mostly a social thing. So at some point I was grabbing a friend's wine and just putting my nose inside and like sniffing it super hard. But and then I was like, you know what? I'm setting the how do you call that, like the date that I want till when I want to do this. So it's not like no one has told me it has to be a year, it has to be 6 months. I had just said I just started the 5th of November last year, and I was like, let's see how far I go. And so in the wedding, I was like, you know what? If it happens, it happens. But then I thought about it, and I was like, what's gonna bring me? Am I gonna have more fun? Actually, no. And I had so much fun being sober and seeing how my friends were getting drunk. So honestly, it was the best.
Oh.
It was really good.
Okay.
Go to
Just
like
because
Jake's been
I'm
sitting on something.
no, I mean, you mentioned the Michelin star restaurant, and then like I know you mentioned also when we met you when you were a server, like that like waitress, I don't know what is the correct term? Just like I've always actually curious about this, not to like go on a tangent, but
Waitress. I like
waitress is
waitress
like
more
the
than server.
and server, yeah, waitress.
Yeah.
I feel like there should be like a more like, you know, like chef, like cook or chef. Like chef is like such an esteemed. I feel like there should be like an esteemed role for like a whatever. I don't
You can also
know.
say
An
front
incredible
of house.
waitress.
You can say front of house as well.
Front of house. Front of house. There we go. I like that. Front of house. But I don't know. I'm just curious to like hear the role. I know you said at the very beginning of this podcast, before we even started recording, that like this is the most boring part of your life, which I don't really believe, because I your role of like where work plays a role in your life, I think is really interesting to me at least. Is like it seems like a lot of these like jobs kind of come after you decide, oh, I'm moving to Copenhagen, or like I think you prioritize experiences in life over the work itself. Is that a fair like opinion? And if so, like, does that excite you? Does that stress you out? Is that just normal for you?
I have realized I cannot live the hustle life. So I had an ex-partner that was really good at just like having one job today and another job tomorrow. I'm terrible at that. I have realized I like having routine, even though it costs me a lot saying this because I have always been wild and free, let's say. But I actually enjoy it. The thing is, I was in this transition of like being a digital designer, then quitting that for a while, trying to discover what else I could do, and then suddenly becoming a Kaizen instructor. Then instead of moving to Greece, as I was going to do, I stayed in Europe. I stayed in Spain, and then I was like, okay, this is not what I really want to do. Okay, and so I was just like looking for something that for me was easy in a way. And it's like, okay, I think I'm good with people, so something in hospitality will be good. And so arriving here, this was my first option because it was like, okay, it's something easy. I actually found it in like a couple of weeks, and then it's like, let's do it. And I like when people have a good service. Like, I love arriving in a place. For me, I value more the service than sometimes the quality of what's served, let's say like that. And I think I learned this mostly when I was working at the Michelin star restaurant. People go there, they pay a lot of money, so they want their own experience, It's their moment. They are the stars in there now, and I love doing that, I'm like a show woman in a way. So of course I will make the experience like I was the hostess there, and then I was the first face that they were seeing and the last face, right? So I had to make sure that they started the experience in a good way, and that they also, when they will leave, that they will leave happy. And if they had any comments or anything, they would let me know, and I will make everything that I could in order to make them leave wanting to come back, right? And that's why for me it's like really rewarding to work with people or working with the public, but it's really exhausting at the same time, right? Mostly when you're just like running around and you don't really get to interact. Like, I love being a hostess because you get to talk to people like I did with you guys, and not just collecting plates and washing things and preparing sandwiches. That doesn't excite me so much. It's more about the human connections that you do when you're working. That's something that I love, actually.
I'm so glad you talked to us at the
Me
restaurant.
too, guys. And I think I could just see you from afar. Like, when I first started talking to you, I honestly thought when you left and when you, because you were gonna come the next day, I thought like, oh, these guys, like, they were so cool. I wish I could talk to them again. And I thought of you like the whole day that you were supposed to come. I was like, every time I was just like, okay,
Shit, call us out.
I was like, are they gonna come? Are they? Oh, okay. Oh, well, maybe they couldn't, And then,
Had a flight. It's okay. I swear we love you.
it's honestly, now I know, but I was so sad.
So
No, honestly,
sorry.
no, but it's like,
Redemption.
yeah, but it's, I, how many times I have said, oh yeah, we will come by tomorrow, and then things happen, life happens, and then you cannot. But I was so surprised, actually, because, okay, we have to talk about this. So in the cafe that I was working now, like, suddenly one day I come for like a closing shift that you arrive at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and then Jude is there, and it's like, Lala, I was waiting for you. And I was like, what? I was arriving there like 5 minutes before my shift because I always make it like, okay, as late as possible, And then he's late, and I was like, what? And then he just like, you, I don't know how long you've been waiting, but like, my colleagues, you were lucky because I don't work every day there.
I knew you worked that day. I did. Because I had gone like two or three other times
And
trying to find you.
you
And no, I'm not gonna like that's and I was just like and I asked I like befriended them and I was like, well, can you tell me when Laura's working? Because like I've come now like a
Oh,
few
that's
times.
so
Can you just
cute.
like
Nobody told me.
yeah. Well,
See,
like,
we've redeemed ourselves.
nobody told me there's a guy looking for you. No,
Aw.
and
And it was
it's,
Jude.
yeah, but it was super
Next.
sweet. It was super sweet,
Yeah.
but it was so nice and so random. Like, I remember, I like when you told me like, oh, I was waiting for you. I was like, what? What happened? And they were like, no, well, like, Don and I would like you to participate in our podcast. And I was like, is this the real life? Oh, it's just fantasy. I was like, am I dreaming now? Is this, this is, it was a super surreal situation. Like, suddenly you pop out of nowhere and then you want to participate in the podcast after talking with me for 10 minutes. I was like, what? But it was really funny,
no,
and I'm
yeah.
happy I'm here, honestly.
I'm so happy you joined
Yay.
Us. This was awesome. Okay, we like to end our podcast with something that our guest is looking forward to.
Okay.
And it can be something small, it can be something big, but
I'm not gonna get naked,
please.
Okay? Sorry. That's a no go for me. <Just kidding. laughs>
I hope you're referring to our last guest.
It's not random. Listen to our episode with Mente.
Check that out.
Dude, you're sounding really creepy in these last like 3 minutes. Sorry.
Oh,
okay
no.
What are you looking forward to besides whatever, possibly nude modeling with Mete, I guess?
I think I'm gonna pass on that offer. I'm actually thrilled to, you mean in general in life, right? Well, I would definitely love to participate another time in this lovely podcast.
Yes, please.
We need to get an update with Pele.
Yeah. Pele needs to say his part.
Oh my God,
Pele, if you're okay, Pele, if you're okay, blink twice. No.
Yes.
No, yeah. I think he's going to be really happy that... I think 70% of this podcast is about him, so he's gonna be really like all over the place, probably. Yeah, and no, I'm always looking forward to see what's next in my life, because it's all a surprise. Seriously, right now I don't have anything planned, and I'm just excited to see what comes next, and that hopefully life will bring me nice people like you guys. And nice experiences like this, and things to look forward to, basically. So, yeah, that's
yeah. Yay. Okay. Wow. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you were the head of house. Or, wait, what
front
is
of
it?
House.
Front of house.
The head of house.
Front of house.
I can be the head of house as well.
The
don't
front
worry.
Of house. The front of house.
Owner of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys.
Yes.
This was amazing.
And
this is
thank
so
you
fun.
Yeah, I don't know, thank you for just like bringing hope and joy into my life at least, and hopefully our listeners as well, because that was awesome.
Same.
So cool.
Same.
Thank you guys. Not honestly, like I mentioned it before we started recording, but I was having a rough day, and this has been like a, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, I think oasis
Oasis.
Oasis.
Yeah.
In my day, seriously, this has been like therapy.
Oh, yay. Same.
Nice. We should do this more often then.
I know.
I
this
can't spend the hour, by the way.
Episode.
I can't spend the hour. This was 200 euros. Thank you.
Perfect.
Very affordable.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening, guys. We will see you next Sunday.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.